Hey guys, it's PTK here again. Episode, I believe, 7 of Part-Time Rambles. Today we have Tyan,
Hey, what's up?
Charlie,
How's it going, guys?
and Bruno.
Hello.
And we're going to be talking about mental health in regards to is it real? We're going to be talking about can we make a society better? College, what is the best option to make money? A diet, schooling, police, all this is in regards to specifically America, at least for the last three. So, to start off, when we ask, is mental illness or mental health real? This is a question that's been argued for a long time in regards to comparing it to diseases and whatnot. And actually, it goes back as far as some researcher named Thomas Szasz, I think, and he did a article talking about how basically he didn't like the way DSM decided it, and like whether we use medication or we held the person accountable. And to be clear, he believed that psychiatric conditions and stuff. He just didn't think we should be approaching it the way we are. You guys can go ahead and whoever wants to take hold.
So to clarify, that guy's stance is saying that like mental health is a thing, but it should be completely separated from the physical. Is
Yes.
that what he's saying? Okay.
Yes.
I mean, I'd agree with
Okay.
that, but I also think it's a real thing, for sure.
Yeah. I guess his stance is also more like he also doesn't like that we give like
Medication?
medication. It's something like that, but he's basically saying like that,
I can feel that. No, I feel that. I can feel that side of it as far as mental health being like a real thing. It definitely is. And especially when we're posing this question, I don't personally think anyone here doesn't think it's a real thing. I think we mainly posed it because we know that there's a lot of people that struggle with others, don't see why it's real. And what makes it like, what for me, why people are like, oh, but it's not like you can't physically see it and blah, blah, blah. Like, mental health is discussion of brain and what happens inside and all the electrical firing and mechanisms and chemical balances. So if something chemically is changed in your brain, just like a knife, I mean, that physical alteration and chemical alteration, those are like bases of chemistry and learning that we have. So why would we like just completely forget about the entire mental aspect?
I see what you're
Yeah.
saying. I think that you said his name was Zaz, right?
Yes.
There's also a level of like this aspect that I bet certain people would blame it on mental health if they do something wrong as a way to like not be accountable. And I feel like that was something that he was trying to avoid. But at the same time, like you can't really tell if there's going to be that like mental change. So it's really a hard thing to gauge in that regard.
And that's where I think the whole DSM thing becomes interesting, because now we're at DSM 5,
Yeah, we're
Yep.
and the way, yeah, and the
It's
way they describe it's what?
funny because I just took that psychology class last summer, and
Nice.
they had me talk about DSM-5, and a lot of arguments in there was like the new conditions is too easy to get in. Now I thought that was kind of like, I mean, like I see what they're saying, but like they're updating it because more people are getting it, but they're saying more people are getting it because it's easier to get
It's
it. Like,
easier, yeah.
so I'm like,
I
I don't
can see
know,
that.
but
Right? It's like,
yeah.
yeah. No.
Do
Yeah,
you
there's
think
a
it's
problem.
it's easier to get because of different like social factors that have developed like social media and things like that?
Yeah, like
Yeah.
awareness of it for one, like right? Like if we didn't have labels for these things, like would we really be even like calling like having statistics of like whether they exist? And then like you said, like now that things are more spread out and like awareness and like the notion of mental illness is like at least talked about, like more people are willing to take what do you call it, are like willing to test for it or like, you know, check things out. A lot of people, it's unfortunate too, with like mental health. A lot of times the people who actually are suffering from the mental illness won't seek, you know, medical advice or attention.
Yeah.
You actually have to get them like usually through a court order or something along those lines, or like a parent or a guardian has to like sort of coax them in. But yeah, like it is weird to think like whether or not like this spike is an actual spike, or maybe this was the true statistic all along and we just never were diagnosing it. Or like you said, like maybe this is something that's just occurred because of social media facilitating like anxiety and the social like comparison and stuff like that, you know, like maybe, like honestly, that's honestly what's kind of hard to like really pinpoint. It's like which, how much is it, mm-hmm. how much of it is that, and how much of it is like just an actual base statistic of like, you know, human variety, because you know there's definitely variety and some people are probably more susceptible.
I feel like it's kind of it's a question that we'll never get the answer to because of how things have gone. And if it's like, it just kind of sucks because I do think like a lot of people say our generation gets it easy and whatnot, but I do think people growing up now have to deal with things that people didn't have to deal with before. And mm-hmm. I think that's also a big cause. Another big thing on this argument is what I saw to be the biggest issue, like between the two sides, is basically a lot of people always say, well, there's this chemical imbalance. But the fact is that hasn't been proven, period. It's every time it's been said, people have gone to prove it and they found it false and whatnot. And there is, I do believe it has something to do with the brain, and there's probably some issue in there, but there has been no real study to back that. You know what I mean?
To back what?
That there's an actual chemical imbalance. Like, for example,
depression or something, or what do you mean?
I thought there was
studies of serotonin and like certain chemicals of dopamine and things.
But
I've read tons of studies.
What I'm saying is like there's that stuff, but it's not proven. You know what I'm saying? It's not like that stuff is out there, but it hasn't been proven to have a real effect on why people have these things. Like even though it's there and there's this percentages, it hasn't been. It's not seen as a fact.
Like, what do you mean by? That's okay. See, this is the biggest issue, and this is why I think it becomes very difficult, because there's this whole aspect of science, right, and the scientific method, and so because of science and things we can learn about nature, I kind of look about it this way, right? If we're talking about the evolutionary go of things, evolutionarily, we could say we're one of the higher up species, correct? That's like fairish to say.
Mm-hmm.
So if evolutionarily speaking we're already higher up, then studying other species below us is a lot easier. How their brain works and how things work are trying to understand something that's lesser than us, but then trying to understand something that's of the same caliber or more than us is far different, and to know if we have the tools to even do that is even harder. So we are a species that, yes, we can harness electricity in certain ways, but like to actually understand the world and how everything works, we don't know what a soul is or what consciousness is. So how do we study its effects and interactions and its schism with the actual reality around it? That becomes very difficult. Mm-hmm. And that's where people are like, no, this is why psychology can't be real. And I'm like, but we know these things are actually happening to us. We document it. We see that there's percentages of people that it's happening to. And that's why a whole lot of psychology is about rates of percentages and averages. And that's why they're like, well, it's not real because there's nothing concrete. You're saying it's not concrete, but it's happening, because you're talking about a world based on variance where nothing always happens. So you can't say that this one thing happens. It's already based in diversity. That doesn't make sense. Like, you're trying to say that there should be one atom all the time, but there already exists multiple atoms that won't happen.
Yeah, I agree. I just had to bring it up because that's the side. They don't want to. That's their argument. They're going to be like, well, I can't prove this because when I look for these chemical imbalances and the actual effect that it has on these people, it doesn't equal this. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that's right. Yeah. I'm just saying that's the argument they're bringing. So that's what I'm bringing.
Mm-hmm. And what I'm trying to say, I think, is their argument to say it's not equaling is because it's not happening 80% of the time.
Yeah.
These things will still happen 40 to 60% of the time, but to them, that's considered not enough. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
like, to me, it gets weird because it's like, yeah, you could say that's not like fact, but then when you look at our society, how much does something have to occur for us to be like, oh, that's something that happens? I mean, we go as low as 20% sometimes, so it's kind of weird to like hold as a belief.
So my question to that is, like, when someone is trying to deny mental health, how do they explain things like teen suicide rate being like nearly doubled or doubled? Like, I don't know how you walk around that and not think it's a mental
right? Because you would say it's not a fact, right? Because it's not.
I think people who argue it, people like on the very extreme side, the people who are arguing these things are also saying like, well, those people are just not accountable for their own feelings and what they're doing.
Yeah.
And that's where I have like, I'm like, that can't be like just it. It's just like, oh, you just need to, you know, not, well, no shit. Like,
not be
know?
Depressed.
But that's basically argument. What they're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. You could always say that. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, like, to answer your question, like it's what Keemstar says. Like, it's so cringy to me. Like he basically says like, oh, you know, like, a mental illness is not real. You just have to toughen up. You have to, you know, pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Very like Republican like way of thinking too. Like, it's like, you know, and it's true. Like, I do believe in the fact that humans, what makes us kind of like special is that we really can be in control of our own destiny. We can control the environment. We can like, we're very, I don't know, we have, it's the prefrontal cortex, I guess. So I do believe like people can will themselves. But, like, you can't just will yourself from depression. Like, it takes way more factors than that. Yeah. Because, for example, like, I think one of the highest risk factors for suicide is how many connections you have to people. So, like, if you have zero friends, that means you're a high-risk suicide. So that just, to me, what that speaks to is that social bonding and connecting is really vital to someone's mental health. And, like, but people, like I said, believe, like, that's not true, or, like, maybe they don't see it that way. But that's one of the arguments they would say. It's like, oh, they're just not pulling themselves up by the bootstraps. They're not motivated. It's like, what do you like? Of course, they're fucking depressed, bro. But like, apparently, like, that's friends. The way they write it off. It's kind of weird.
Yeah,
it's really strange.
Yeah. So, I guess I'll ask the question just to ask it, even though I know the answer. But for our audience, basically, and I'll answer first. Do we believe mental health is real? And yes, I believe it's real. It's real, and it's just we don't understand it yet, and because we don't understand it, people want to say that it's not a thing, but that's not how we should go about it. And I mean, everyone agrees here.
I'll second that. Yeah, like, I agree, and like you said, it's a complicated topic. Like, and not like, that's the funny thing about psychology. It's like, not every two situations are going to be the same, right? Like, for example, you can have twins raised in the same house, same parents. And then one grows up to be really messy, one grows up to be really tidy. And you ask the one who's messy, oh, why did you like that? Oh, because my parents were messy. Okay, sure, that makes sense. Then you ask the one who's really tidy, it's like, why are you like that? It's like, oh, my parents were messy. I never wanted to be like that. It's just, at the end of the day, like like you said, variance and like people's personal choice. Yeah, you end up being whatever, like you can make a decision, but like they're still like influenced from the environment. Like they're both influenced, but just in the opposite direction. So there's no like concrete like rule for mental health, and that's why it's so hard to also diagnose, and maybe that's why it's overdiagnosed. But it's still real, you know, like to me.
But there's still boundaries. And I think that's the thing for me, at least. There's still boundaries for me that show that there definitely is a mental thing. Like the fact that people have schizophrenia, to me it's like how are you gonna explain that one to me?
Yeah.
If you're going to say mental health isn't real, like, come on, try.
This guy's lying. He's just lying to you. He wants attention. I don't know. Like, what are you going to say?
See, but people do say that. It's insane.
Yeah, dude. But that's, you know, I don't know.
It's like, okay, I want you to sit literally for like 2 days. Just sit for 2 days with this person, then trust me, you won't be able to hold a single conversation with them.
Yeah. That's when it gets sad.
But
So when quick question. So when Keemstar says something like it's not real and like pull yourself up by your bootstraps, is like me not going to say therapy or getting the right medications and making sure my mind is right, is that not pulling myself up by my bootstraps? Like I don't know. I'm trying to put myself in his thoughts.
apparently, like, he's commented to people and, like, replied and to stuff like that, like, oh, like, they are getting treatment, it's like stuff. He says, like, that's getting the easy way out. I don't know what he means by that. Like, I said, I didn't go too far into the thread, but I was like, wow, like, this seems really stupid. Like, I don't know how to explain that one, but.
This is how I look at it, right? It's like we've been in math class for a long time, and everybody's learned how to do the really hard way to do something. You know, everyone's like, oh, no, you just have to keep going, put yourself through it, go solo, yeah. It doesn't matter. And it's like, yeah, you can do it that way.
Good,
it's
yeah.
just super, super hard. And then somebody was like, yeah. And the teacher was like, but you can also do it this way. And everyone's like, oh, this works and it's easier? Yeah, yeah. It's and then everyone was like, nah.
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, okay.
That's right, you're back. Like,
you cut out for a second. Yeah. Like your camera
feels
went
like
out for a minute.
Essentially everyone, because they were like had to pull themselves up by their bootstraps, mm-hmm. it's like they feel mm-hmm. robbed by this easier way.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
they're telling everybody else that the way to do it is to do it the hard way they did. But we're like, but it's easier now. We don't have to send carrier pigeons.
Yeah.
I mean, we're kind of getting to a different discussion with, I guess it's the same. When people, like, the same people who are saying that are also saying, like, those treatments aren't what you need. They're, so, like, especially therapy, they're like, yeah, a lot of people don't believe in therapy. And this is very prominent, actually, in, at least to me, in American Black culture. Like,
yeah,
a lot of us don't believe in therapy. And because it's seen, I don't know why, but there's just a
negative
the way they see it is like, no, there's nothing wrong with me. Why do I need to go see get therapy? Or why do I want to listen to somebody who talks? Which, I mean, it's a big issue in the Black community, but I'm sure it's an issue overall too. A lot of people see it as like, why would I need to go get therapy?
Yeah,
and that's just another thing that's like,
yeah. I was going to say, like, I don't know if it's an old head thing or something, because my dad says the same exact shit, you know, he's from Peru, but he's like, yeah, you're like, you don't need a therapist, you know, if you want to talk out your problems, talk to me or something. I'm like, okay, dad, like, I'm like, not that I've ever talked to him about therapy, I think he's, because he went to a therapist a long time ago, and I guess he had a really bad experience, and so, like, he's really against, like, that, because my dad actually has, like, I'm pretty sure he was diagnosed with type 1 bipolar, so he had, like, a manic episode a few times, and it was around the divorce too, so he was just having a bad time, especially during that time, and like I guess he didn't like the medication or the therapy, and I don't think he takes meds, and he seems fine, but then now that I think about it, he probably has, like, I think now a lot, it explains a lot of his behavior, because he can get pretty manic, like he sometimes he's like on top of the world, and another time it's like, you know, he's just kind of doled out, but yeah, he doesn't believe in that shit, even though he's experienced it. You see what I mean? Like, though, it's like, it's weird. I don't know if it's a cultural thing or if it's a old mindset thing or.
Yeah, it's something that's got to change eventually.
Yeah.
We have a lot more topics to hit. I think we hit those ones pretty well. Next one we have is, I feel like we kind of talked about this in the last podcast we did, but what makes a better society? Did we not talk about that in the.
No, we just talked about if it was better if everything was happy, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is in more regards to this week's topic. So when you say what makes a better society, what did you really mean?
Well, that's I meant that, like, what makes a better society. So essentially, we'd have to define what a better society would look like in first place.
Resources are met for everyone, or like basic needs, right? I would say that's how I would measure it. And then, like, positive good, like you said, utility. Like, I'm a utilitarian, I guess. Like, if things are, like, net positive, then it's worth it or whatever. Usually. I can't say that's always the case. What else? I don't know. That's
bigger access to education. More access mm-hmm. to education, too.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Then we don't have people like Keemstar, you know.
Yeah.
Spouting bullshit.
But, yeah, dude.
That's something. Do you think kindness should be seen as a base trait for a better society?
We should have, like, some sort of,
if everybody was kind, like, if kindness was not necessarily a requirement but also like a requirement,
encouragement,
yeah
Like, it was just taught, like, this is how we are, by the way. We're kind to everyone.
Yeah.
So.
Like,
why not? Like, was just kind
of... I guess it depends on what you mean by better. Because if we had a very kind society, like, and across, like, is it across this nation or the world?
The world.
Okay. If we have,
well,
if
I
we
mean,
have...
I mean, eventually you would want to take the world. Because this is the other thing, too. Before we, just because someone is kind does not mean they cannot kill you or brutally dismember you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, move on.
Okay. Well, then I don't see any reason to not have kind. There's no reason to not have kind. Because, people need to help out other people. It's just what it is. And, if we're saying a better society, we're basically trying to, you already said everyone gets basic needs, which means we have mm-hmm. no homeless.
Ideally, yeah.
We have no homeless. I mean, even something we're fighting for in America, healthcare. We don't have access.
Yeah,
not everyone has access to healthcare or free healthcare.
Or something, you know.
If you're saying society applies to, is war necessary?
No, it's never necessary.
Oh, no.
I mean, yeah, it's hard to argue sometimes, but, just in terms of, if we had other options, if there's options of send young people to go and die to get this job done, or, you know, find the diplomatic, why not do the other? I know it would be hard to find a diplomatic for everything, obviously, but as I'm saying, I don't know if it's pragmatic, but, I feel like the other option, which is war, is, is it really that good of an option?
Here are two things where I think war, if war is necessary. Okay, so does war make us make better, you know, fighting tools? And if we ever have to, you know, come in contact with another species, did that help us, you know, be able to fight off that threat? Then I could see it being I'm just saying, if we were all kind, we didn't have to, we wouldn't build tools of, destruction.
Yeah.
We wouldn't need to. And then,
exactly.
And then the other thing is, if everyone's doing good and everyone has the basic needs, people are going to die still. It's just going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But are enough people going to die? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We don't want to overpopulate.
We need to manage the population. Yeah.
Child
loss.
And that's like a band-aid, right? It's not really a solution. The one, you know what I'm saying?
Maybe. It also depends, because you also have to think about why we even have so much overpopulation. I would say a huge part of the overpopulation to under-education mixed with being then fucking. Then
you're cutting out every other word. Every time you came back, I was like, maybe I'll get it. And then I was like, no, I won't. I can't.
All right. Am I still cutting out?
No.
A little bit.
Yeah, try.
Okay. This is better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Someone else just continue. I forgot what I was saying.
I've been there, bro. I've been there.
I mean, there's also just the aspect that war normally brings a very large amount of jobs, which
for
manufacturing, more boost to military. There's so many benefits like that. But I would never want to send people off to die. That's just awful. But
this is what's
inhumane. But.
Mm-hmm. This is what's interesting, at least to me, because with the kindness thing is if somebody is kind or if we encourage kindness, to me, kindness is a connection between people, right? If I encourage
mm-hmm.
kindness, doesn't mean that every creature they come across, they're going to be kind to. It just knows in a society setting, people know they have to be kind to each other. So the idea of being creative and being violent, it's not like hunting would stop or these types of sports would stop. It's not like people would be like, you know what, let's not do MMA anymore because I want to be kind.
Yeah.
No, we're still kind, but I'm going to be kind and nice to you and then I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
So to me, these ideas of video games and these other worlds and stuff like that still allow these creative outlets, these ideas of people still wanting to compete. They just now compete in a to me, what becomes more healthier and positive could still yield positive results. Because the bigger question for that society, in my view, is whether they believe there could be a threat from another planet or not. Because if they believe they're the only people in existence and they don't need to ever progress or work towards shit, then they would just chill. But if they believe that maybe at some point someone else may cause problems that they hope they can be nice with, then they would still work towards and create defenses and practice and be prepared for these things. But they wouldn't practice doing those things to each other all the time in order to just gain land. You know what I mean? Like, for arbitrary things that they already have in their society.
Interesting. Yeah, it's a good point. Like,
war does
being prepared.
Being prepared.
Yeah,
like, war generates a lot of jobs, I agree.
It's just unfortunate that it comes from such a negative thing. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, but like I said, like, that's the tough thing. It's like, is it always negative? Because then it's like the argument that I think in my head, like, that someone could say to me is like, well, then was World War II a bad thing? It's like, well, I guess not. Like, we had to stop these violent people, you know what I mean?
But against?
That's what I'm saying. We had to stop these violent people, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, like, they're going to genocide us. It's okay to be self-defensive, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's okay to be self-preserving. There you go. That's the word I'm looking for. You know, that makes sense, but, like, it still sucks. Mm-hmm. It's like, ugh, we're going to lose people, you know? But they kind of instigated it. Hey, they started it, man.
Plus, if there was never war, then there wouldn't be a need for a military, which would have so many, like, societal influences. Like, I know so many people that go to the military because they can't afford college or, you know, that kind of thing. So,
would those other things be an issue?
Yeah, they would, because
that's what's also weird.
True.
Like, if you don't have to have the war and everybody's working together and everybody's being kind, then the need for jobs and the need for everybody to have money just kind of goes away. The industrial complex was hugely created because of war in the first place. It was like, imagine pumping out this huge amount of money and then everybody spent it. And then they're like, wait, we don't have any money. And they're like, what do you mean? We just started a war. And they're like, yeah, but we spent it on stupid shit. So we don't have any money. And then they restart a war and they just keep pumping it out. And now we rely on money so much. You literally can't exist in this society without money. Which is weird because any other animal can exist without money.
Only because we left.
Yeah, but that's a capitalism thing, though. I mean, that's something else. Don't worry about that, man. You're saying capitalism wouldn't be part of a good society, or what would you suggest?
No, capitalism can still be a part of it. I think it doesn't have to be 100% capitalism. We're not even 100% capitalism, which I think is funny. Everybody's like, capitalist. I'm like, we're not even 100% capitalist.
Think so, yeah.
Like, why? Why do you keep acting like that? If you make money the base, I think it's funny because the rich people, the people that control the country, have the actual economic influence that the country should have. We shouldn't be only based in money. It should be diversified. You should have multiple assets that make up what you own. So, like, I don't have to have a ton of money, but because I have all these chairs and stuff in my house, or because I can cook food, that's easy for me to trade with somebody else and not have an issue.
So, war is necessary.
No, I don't think war is necessary.
Well, I mean,
I think war is just fun.
I see if we had what we needed and we're still pushing towards things, then yeah, I can agree. But
I like that. That's the takeaway.
This is the same thing we said with the happiness.
Well, I mean, it is what it is. But
that's so funny.
I guess another thing that be talked about is, like, if we're just talking about a better society, then I guess a better society would have, like, I don't want to say mandatory, because that kind of means, like, you have to and, like, someone's enforcing it. But, like, less being inside, more going outside. More being, like, active. Everybody's in good shape. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I say good shape, I'm not talking six-pack, like, whatever, but I'm saying at least no,
I think so.
No obese, and not by the old standards that they have now. The standards they have now are flawed, but that's another discussion. So, like, would it be mandatory to go outside and be in shape for a better society? Like, would that make a better society?
Would that make a better society? See, that's because that's interesting. So now, with that question, to me, it's like you're asking
better.
If somebody caring about their own personal physical health is important to a better society.
Well,
which sounds there's immediately yes.
But there's so many different factors. It's not just like, oh, I want to look good or anything. It's more like, it's just like by stats alone, if you're in better shape and you're more active, you're usually, there's a lot of benefits to it.
Pickles up. Yeah.
Oh, no, I get that. But what I'm saying is, if I want to
better move,
eat as much food as I want,
more productive,
and I still am productive enough in that society, why would I need to do those things? Would doing those things make the rest of the society more beneficial in any way? Do you get what I'm saying?
But
at
I'm
what
saying,
threshold would that be?
But I'm saying if there's benefits to being at a certain threshold of, like, in shape, and everyone had those benefits, then the whole society is going to go up.
But how? Like, what is – you're saying that the whole society is going up. But, like, is this society better just because people are more in shape? Are you saying this more in shape allows them to be fend off against a different society? Or this more in shape elevates their mood and that's why the entire society is better? That's why
elevates their mood and they're less likely to do a number of things. Like, people who are active and more, like I said, if you're more productive and the society becomes more productive as a whole, that's good. That's a better society, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Is what I'm saying. But unless you're saying that doesn't mean...
I'm just
mean...
making sure you explain all this. Yes. Because there's going to be a lot of people that are
going to
hear this.
Why do I have to be in shape for the society to be... Okay, I got you. But that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying, like, you have to look good for it, but not. I'm not. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about the benefits of being healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I
get what you're saying, but I feel like there's something kind of, like, inherently, like, almost dangerous of saying that someone that's more fit is intrinsically, like, better than someone
that's
less.
This is what's funny, right?
Like, that isn't very kind, if you ask me.
But that's what's funny, and it's weird for me to hear, but it's like, is this an issue because our society's got so weird because people have become sensitive on this topic, even though there's definitely factual evidence of one way being more beneficial for the rest of your body and longevity? That's why it's like, how do you... I'm not saying you should fat shame people or go out and, like, make fun of people for being that way. But I also would not condone somebody to eat or act that way.
It's really weird. So let me try to clear this out. So what I'm saying is not that someone that, like, okay, for a fact that there are definitely people who are not in shape that are definitely better for society than people who are in shape. But as a whole, when you're taking it in as a whole, and you know that, like, you're getting these bonuses. So, like, if you want, so, like, for your car, when you get a car, you know you need to get an oil change and, like, all these things, and you need to do it, but, and they give you recommended dates. These dates are recommended because your car, by stats, will be better and it'll last longer. So with these checks, if you do this, you're more likely, not that it's going to happen, but it's more likely. So because your chances the chance percentage of it being better goes up.
You want to hit that date range.
Like, you know what I'm saying? It's not mm-hmm. guaranteed, but your chances go
essentially,
up.
Essentially, if you have Tom and Brady, and Tom is heftier than Brady, but he's more productive than Brady. If Tom was also the same, did the same self-health thing, he would also be even more productive than Brady in the first place.
Productive,
is what
you're
saying.
Yeah.
Not that he would automatically, but he'd have a chance.
He would boost his own.
He would have a chance.
He'd boost it. Yeah, he boosts his base stats. You basically boost in your base stats.
It's like if you're playing a game.
Chance to...
you, if They're like, if you run every day, there's a 5% chance that when you run every day, that your stats go up. It's not guaranteed, but there's a 5% chance. Why would you not take... if you look at it like as a company-wide thing, why would you not do it if you're looking at a whole? You're going for as most benefits as you can. Why would you not go for it? And that's...
Yeah.
And that's like what I'm saying.
Exercise and stuff is definitely important to our health, you know? Yeah. I know what you mean. I feel like I see why we're like kind of being cautious with the topic, but I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Yeah.
I got a weird kind of take, but so hypothetically, right, if everyone was healthier and then life expectancy increased, wouldn't overpopulation become a big problem, especially like in the States and stuff?
That's like, why we have wars every year.
That's why we now host a purge, actually. And no, see, that just depends on child limitation, family, because it's weird when, that's why I always love talking about different societies, right? Because you have to compare the society you actually live in and what you think about and how you think about things. And then think about that society if you never, ever experienced the rest of this bullshit, right? Because, yes, you would live longer, but, like, do people want to have more kids? Are kids something that most people want? Because in my experience, a lot of boomers had kids because it was propaganda to have children. Yeah. Not a lot of people wanted fucking children. Not a lot of people were educated and didn't use condoms, or they would preach abstinence and finally they couldn't handle it anymore, so they didn't have sex properly and still got pregnant. Like, you run into all these other issues because of, like, poor education and because people aren't being kind and this and this and that. So it's like, is there a chance because the age range increases? Yes. But it's hard to say because there's a lot of other issues that would not be there anymore either.
Yeah. 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 Fair point, actually. I like that.
Because so many people that I know, especially around like 20 to 30, are like, nah, I don't want to have kids. Like, I don't. And there's people that do. But like, if everybody is chilling and does what they want, I feel like the world will kind of balance everything out and it'll work out. Not everybody wants a kid.
Yeah, so true.
So, do we have any other suggestions for a better society? If not, I want to hit something real quick. So, I understand that the way we say things sometimes comes across not in the right way, or seems wrong. And like, for example, I can understand why you guys are being so cautious, because even when Charlie was being very, he was bringing it up to me, and so was Ty.
There's a word for this, right? Didn't they make a thing for this?
But
it's an acronym. There's an acronym for this. PC.
Yeah, okay.
PC, so, there you go.
So even when he brought it up to me, I can see people watching this, because even after we went all through, went through all that, we even said if people are more healthier, we're dealing with overpopulation. We're not saying that just because you're not in shape, you're gonna die, you know. But I'm just saying, like, look, when you guys hear these arguments,
it's harder to run for the
world. I like to talk about the benefits. I am not in the best shape myself. I mean, I'm not in bad shape, but I'm not in the best shape. Oh. So. But the point I'm making is like I'm not even following my own recommendations. Like when it comes to like being active or healthy. So don't take like what I say personally when I'm saying these things. Like it's me included. Like when I'm saying these things.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems we've hit this topic. If you guys have anything you want to ask or talk about or even bring up to us or felt a funny way, go ahead and put it in the comments. I'd like to see your engagement. Same. All right. Next thing we have to hit is college the best option to make money? It's another topic. It's a very interesting topic. For me,
it depends.
Is it the best way? I'll let you handle it. Is it the best way? Look,
I don't think it's the best way, but I probably would say it's the most consistent way to be able to get into a job.
It's the most standard way. If you're not in college,
you never get a good job. I mean, it doesn't bar you out, but it's a lot easier to get into a higher paying position with that degree. Like, I don't think anyone can deny that.
Mm-hmm.
But best way, I mean, that's kind of subjective in itself. But
I would say it's not the best way. I agree with kind of that consistent. It's one of those pay to play things, you know. You just continue a little bit longer in an easier environment, and then you can go and be in a higher rung and make, like, not a ton of money, but more than enough, and you'll be able to kind of chill. But you have to study, mm-hmm. and you have to do a certain thing. Like, you have to be a certain way the whole entire time. That's what's annoying about college, and why I wouldn't say it's the best way. Because humans and the mm-hmm. brain and genetics works in diversity. And because of diversity, it's not very helpful to be in a standardized system if your brain thinks different than the standardization. So as far as, like, mm-hmm. just making the most money or the best way to make money, I wouldn't say college is the best system.
So,
yeah.
I just thought of this on the spot. But I know it's very subjective. But to me, I think there'd be a solution that could be called the best way. And this comes from, like, the beginning, like, starting from, like, kids going to, like, preschool and elementary school and all these things. The education that we are required to have before college and high school, mm-hmm. these are the things that will be the best way in making you money. So if they taught, instead of teaching you our version, like, instead of teaching you their version and, like, these things, if they taught you, hey, when you get to this age, these are things you're going to need to know how to do, these are things you're going to need to know how to handle, there's going to be people you have to know, because anyone who's grown up knows anything, it is, you do not need a degree, you do not need a diploma mm-hmm. to get things done. If you know the right people, as long as you are educated, it doesn't matter what you have, as long as there's someone to back you. And if they taught networking, and if they taught, like, stocks and investing and tax.
I know. Finance.
Taught any of those things, people would be able to handle these things a lot better. And if you're at a young – and another thing, a lot of people don't start looking at careers until damn near the end of – it's too late.
Yeah.
But if they have you start looking – and people always say, well, I did say something. No, you heard side comments from a parent or a teacher, and it was every once in a while, and they're always making, like, it's always snarky comments. It's never like
pushing you.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you need to do this, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I'm not going to, if we had a class that was just like, hey, this is what is going to happen, and this, so people clearly understand. Because a lot of people don't really understand. They know that it's something they should do, but they don't, because they really don't understand. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think they also explain it weird. They explain it like, oh, you're going to have a job and a career, and you'll also, like, live your life. They don't tell you that, like, no, that's going to be the same thing. Like, your job and your career should be the thing you want
it is your
to
life.
Do and keep doing. Yeah. So when you're a kid, you're just like, oh, well, I'll do something that's, like, cool, and I'll also be doing this. Exactly. And then you'll grow up and you're like, wait, I don't have time for any of this shit.
Mm-hmm. I think a big problem is, like, for example, another thing is they say they preach college, but they don't tell you how. People go into college and not do the wrong thing, but it's like, okay, college does not guarantee you, even with a degree, any job. So again, if you go through college and you don't network, you're coming out and you're not going to find anything. Like, depending on your degree, because there's some high demand shit that's like someone's going to find you and pick you up. But again, a lot of people are picking up people who are book smart, but not smart. Like, I wouldn't say you're not smart, but you don't know what you're actually doing. So they have to teach you, and that's a big issue. So when you go to college, you gotta understand that, like, they're not teaching you what you need to know, and that's another issue. Like, it's just you have to network, if because going to college and getting a degree is not enough. I've seen too many people come back with degrees and they're fucking working at McDonald's. And I'm not saying working at McDonald's is bad. Yeah. I'm just saying they did not go get that 4-year degree to be working at McDonald's.
Working at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. It's because a lot of people think about and preach college, like you said, as a bonus level. Like, oh, I just have to win this. I beat the level and then I'm chilling. Instead of like a buff. It's like, oh, you went to college? Oh, that looks good. So what did you learn there? What did you do when you were there? You're like, oh, I thought I just had to go to college. No, you have to do something while you're there. Like, that's just, you'll meet other people that are cool and should have other connections, and that's how you branch out. Like, people who go and work in other trade crafts will meet people and connect and branch out through there. But it's like, yeah, it's weird how they talk about college compared to other things. It's seen as like an only option instead of another option.
A big thing I'll preach is when you go to college, a lot of people don't do this, but when meet people, the people who are in these other classes, talk to your classmates, figure out what they do, and if they're already doing something that's the class pertains to, and then try to see how they got into it and become friends with them. Not saying become friends with them so they can give you an opportunity, but like understand that opportunity is there. And then also talk to your professors. Talk to your professors, because your professors are always, they're working. They're already working in the field. They know people in the field. They probably did some, they're probably doing, this is a side hustle. I'm not even going to lie to you. A lot of these college professors are like, yeah, I teach on, you know, Monday and Wednesdays, but the rest of the week I'm back and I'm doing what I got to do, and or I'm on a contract right now. So you need to talk to those professors, because if they like you and you talk to them and you get a relationship, they will recommend you jobs. They will put a word in for you, and that's what you need when you get opportunity.
Mm-hmm. So I'm really curious. If it's not the best way to get a job, would y'all say? How would y'all respond if someone said it's the best way to network? Because I think networking is such a strong way to get a job. And, like, I mean,
how would
you get you to a place? Okay,
well, this is what I will say about that. I will say college is one of the better places that has networking opportunities. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to go to college.
Yeah.
To get a job, you just have to go to a college to get a job. You feel me? Like, if I learn how to be personable, I can walk onto a campus and just smooch my way onto anything. That's just all networking. Yes. Yeah. But like, college doesn't teach that smooching part. When you go to college to talk to people and to learn and to be good at that, they don't even talk about that. And that's the most important part. Like, UCSD, one of the biggest complaints about students that graduated from there was like, they didn't know how to work in a team. They didn't know how to interact with their coworkers. And it's like, what's the point? You literally studied that whole time. You spent 4 years to be useless, essentially, because you can't interact.
Yeah, that's the rough part. And like, kind of like going back to what you guys were saying and stuff, in terms of whether college is like the best way to make money, like, to me, the way I see it, you don't need an education. You just need skills, applicable skills, and, you know, the right education to back that up. And that doesn't necessarily always entail in college, right? So like, even just like the, like Graham Stephan or like Bill Gates, you know, it's always the very cheesy examples people give, but it's like, you don't, if you have a skill that and a passion that like is applicable, or at least somehow manageable in the real world, that's not just like liberal arts or like, you know, like a history of science degree or something, it's like, okay, you're obviously not gonna get a job. And you might get a job, but it wouldn't be, you know, a high paying job. Like, you have to, if you want to get a high paying job, you just have to learn practical skills. I mean, that's just the way I see it. And I don't think necessarily college is a guarantee. It's nice to have that networking, and like, and that's a good place to get internships. And, you know, like, it's definitely a good environment, but unfortunately, another point that you guys brought up is that that's not always encouraged or, like, talked about. And that's, like, the sad thing is that a lot of students go to college and then don't take advantage of, like, the possibilities they have of interns. talking to their professors, maybe working in the lab if they have a lab. You know what I mean? Like, that's more important than actually like getting an A on this test, to me at least. It's like getting the in-person experience, because that's what people really want, especially in like, you know, in business, of course. They don't want just to see an academic. They want to see someone who can apply themselves.
Yeah. And the best way to get a job. Oh, sorry. The best way to get a job, I think, is friends, honestly. I think we talked about a lot about being social creatures and stuff like that. The more people you're able to talk to, the better you're able to talk to them. And then as far as like learning things, you usually do things with your friends. If you want to learn about something, you can do that easier with friends. Making jobs and finding something suitable becomes a lot easier that way. You can't connect, it doesn't matter.
And I just want to hit two more things on this topic. To get back to Charlie's question, to really learn how to network, how to socialize, I think he was asking, like, how do you learn that? Because, you know, you say friends. Well, what if you don't have friends? Like, what is your advice to someone to like, learn to do that? Do they take a public speech class?
Television.
No. You could.
Yeah, no, I was saying that because I just took.
Recommendation. Yeah, throwing talking point. Yeah, yeah.
If you're looking to network, that's not it. But I'm actually curious. Like, do you guys have any answers?
My favorite book on that topic is "How to Win Friends and Influence People" by Daniel Carnegie. I read that like actually out of high school, and it blew my mind because it's so simple and so like when you read the book, you get a lot of hindsight bias in it because you're like, wait, isn't that obvious? You know, because it's like, it's very like little things. It's like, you know, like smiling more, or it's like repeating things back that people say, or like being genuinely interested in people, not faking it. Because that's another thing, like the book, like at the end of every chapter, he always repeats, these are not tactics for manipulation. If you want to be friendly with people, and like, you have to build a genuine interest in people. And people pick up on genuine, you know, characteristics like that. So like, you can't just fake your way into like, hey man, like, what's up, Bill Gates? Can we talk for a second? And he's like, nah, get the fuck away. You have to still have to build a ship, like, from a genuine place. But really, like, that book blew my mind because, like I said, it's so simple, and I like to read it like every now and then. I actually should read it again. I've only read it twice, but it's a really good one. Dale Carnegie, I think, is the author. It's a really old book, like 1920s, so like, but still very relevant. It's kind of crazy.
Any other suggestions?
I mean, my response to that is to really just put yourself in situations where you'd have to be more sociable. Like, for example, practice is a big thing. Like, I used to have really, really crippling social anxiety, and I sometimes would just not speak for like entire days. And then I ended up forcing myself to be on a Twitch stream where you have to talk, or else you're not gonna have any success at all. And eventually, just like practicing repetition over and over, like, you finally are able to get your words out a bit better. But I don't think a Twitch stream necessarily is like the best way to do it, but just like putting yourself in situations where you have to do certain things.
I can second that really quick, because like I don't know if you watched my videos, Tyrell, but like, I've even been recently talking about like motivation and stuff. And one of the things I brought up that is very true to his point is like, practice just makes perfect. You know, like, you just have to try shit. Like, at my first few videos, you can kind of tell I was kind of awkward in front of the camera. Like, I don't know what it is about speaking to a camera alone in a room, but it just felt weird to me. And I was like, oh, like, I couldn't like get that eerie feeling, but I just kept doing it. And it, you know, some of the videos cringe me out when I look at it now. I'm like, ugh, like, I should delete it. But I'm like, nah, like, to me, it's like a badge of honor. I'm like, you know what? I had to go through the trials and tribulations, but now like, I can look at the camera and talk like nothing. Like, it's kind of funny. I was like, it's like, I'm a completely different person. And you just throw yourself out there. Like he said, it's so true.
Yeah. I can agree with everything you're saying. And I understand everything you're saying, because so in the middle of my public speech class in spring, I went in person. My speech, I did fine in front of people. But when COVID happened, they closed down. We did start sending videos. Bro, I could not fucking talk to this fucking camera.
I don't know what it is.
I was like looking at it. And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? I felt so stupid. Or like, cringe.
It just feels stupid, yeah.
And I'm just like, who am I talking to right now? And then I'm like, and it's like, I still feel weird. Like it's good when, like you said, streaming, like, there's people in the chat, or, like, you guys are here, so I don't feel that. But, like, by myself, like, it's really hard to get used to. But it's possible.
Yeah.
That's funny, because I was going to say one of the better ways for me that I've learned is through television and movies and just watching those a lot by myself. With family and stuff is cool, but like, that's more for enjoyment. But by myself, I really noticed a lot more the interactions between the characters you created, because mm-hmm. when you're writing a show or a movie, it's still like real life essentially. Yeah, there's gonna be fake scenes. Mm-hmm. But like, if your connections between the people don't seem real,
people pick up on that. Yeah, dude. Yeah. People don't like that. It's so
exactly.
true.
Exactly. So it has to be written like a real conversation and real connections. So if you practice watching that, and if you can guess kind of what a character is going to say, and you're guessing correctly, like, you're starting to pick up on what people are doing. So if you watch 3 different rom-coms, by the 3rd rom-com, you're like, oh, this is the formula for how people tend to act in romantic situations. Oh, mm-hmm. this person's getting all awkward. Oh, she's blushing. Like, those things will happen in real life too. Yeah. Not as exaggerated, but at least you have like a template for what's going on, instead of being so like, fuck, I have no idea. Because I feel like that's the weirdest thing, at least for me, when I'm in social situations, I get anxious because I'm like, I just don't know how someone's going to act.
Yeah.
And you can never really know. But like, at least through watching movies and stuff, I'm like, at least I can kind of act like I know where I'm supposed to be, because these mm-hmm. characters knew where they were supposed to be when this shit happened.
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because I was now that you just mentioned it, the other source I would recommend for people who want to practice like networking and social skills, Charisma on Command, is a YouTube channel. Really cool, because what he does, he analyzes a lot of like celebrity interviews and like stuff like that, or like he does a lot of it. His content varies a lot, because he didn't always used to analyze people, but recently, like the last 3 years, he analyzed a lot of people. Like, he even predicted Trump was going to win back in the day, and he was talking about why, because like he was talking about the way he spoke, and like how he was always like grandeuring people up, and like he kept being simple, like, and it's and then like ended up like literally everything he said ended up happening. I was like, wow, like this guy kind of actually knows his shit. But it's funny because he uses a lot of like, or like even just dramas like Game of Thrones, and he analyzes like how the power dynamics these characters kind of play. And it's funny because there's some truth to it. Like you said, it's a little glammed up for media, obviously. But, mm-hmm. you know, there's some truth, like there's some truth to like how humans behave, or like the interactions that we try to go through, or at least that are dramatized, you should say.
Mm-hmm.
And just so you guys know, we are really close to hitting the hour mark, and we're not going to hit the rest of our topics. But for this college topic, there is one more thing that I think we should talk about and just finish up if you guys are fine going like 5-10 minutes over. So we hit, you know, we hit like, is it the best option? We hit why we feel like it isn't. We hit what we feel like mm-hmm. it is. I also want to hit, because the goal is to make money, I want to talk about had it on my the cost. Okay, so a lot of people end up going to college and losing money. Okay, so I'm in college right now, and I'm going to be transferring to a university pretty soon here. But the only reason I'm allowed to do that is because my parents were military. So until because I'm but as long as I finish all my schooling before the age of 28, my stuff is paid for. Not my books, and I don't know if it covers everything, but largely a good amount of it is doing it. So I'm doing everything.
Like the tuition?
Yeah. So I'm doing as much as I can by the time I'm 28, because I won't be able to do that anymore. I'll have to pay for it out of pocket. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was never worth it. So if you guys don't know, I am a computer science major, and that
good.
Is and that is my goal. But if I were to not have the resources to do so, I would probably go to I'd be using resources like Udemy. I would get certifications instead. I know a lot of people where they could get me in, and then I would go and work there, and then only, like, if those jobs, like, after I made so much money, were like, hey, we want to promote you, but we can't promote you until you get this, I'd be like, okay, and those companies would probably back me with the finance to do so. So, but there's other options to do those things.
Yeah, they will.
So I just want to say, like, another thing is make sure you, I know it's really hard and, like, to get the resources to go, and that's something that needs to change, and at least in America, is college tuition is insane. But if you have the resources, and it's a degree that you're informed about and it will help you, I recommend learning as much as you can for free, if you can,
or always.
At a much lower price. But if it costs, the benefits of it, I think, really goes down, because you come out with a degree with a debt, you can't, and then you don't get the job you want, and then you're stuck paying that debt, and for whatever else you
need. Yeah,
what do you guys think about that? Obviously, it's,
you guys have different point of view. So. The debt's not worth it.
Yeah, bro. I'm very lucky that I didn't get any debt. Like, that was my latest video, I think, was how I was able to graduate almost for free. And I talk about how it, for me, it kind of worked in my favor that my parents didn't really have that much money. So my low income bracket, like, qualified me for a greater FAFSA loan. So my Pell Grant and my Cal Grant covered, like, 95% of my tuition. And then, like, 5% was out of pocket. So it was, like, $800 a semester or some shit like that. And then books and stuff, I had to pay for myself. But then, you know, there's online resources, Library Genesis. Like, there's a few other, like, textbook websites. I don't remember now off the top of my head. But, like, I used a lot of – I basically had to kind of weasel my way through the system. And I still ended up paying a little bit. But luckily, I didn't have debt. But that's the thing that makes me sad, is, like you just said, most people end up incurring debt to get the degree. And then oftentimes the payoff isn't as expected, and then they're just stuck with the loan. And that's, like, that always what really hurts me about the system. It's like, why like that? And then the fact that one of the reasons that tuition is so expensive is that since it's a federally backed loan, colleges were like, oh wait, the government's gonna pay for it, then, like, well, let's bump it up a little bit. And then I don't know why it goes to absurd lengths now. Like, I think it's like 200% from up from, like, the 70s or something. So I don't know if that's the whole story. There's probably another factor there, but, like, it's weird how it worked out that way. It's just sad. Yeah, it's not worth. That's what I'm trying to say.
It really sucks debt. That it really sucks that getting a higher education requires almost like a leap of faith. Like, I know that if I didn't get into this current situation, because I just landed a job this week that's gonna end up paying for my tuition. But nice. If I wasn't able to get that, I fully think I probably would have been absolutely fucked coming out of college, unless if I landed some really good internship or something, like, just got lucky out of nowhere. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and like, that just speaks to our point. We have, like, what you guys are seeing here, I'm not saying that we are the people to listen to or that we are the most educated, but you have people here who have experienced both sides of this, you know, people who have it paid for, people who are going through it. Everyone here is gone to or is in college, and we did our time or are doing it.
Yeah,
it's a struggle. I'm telling you,
it's over.
Yeah. We're doing our time.
We got the clink.
Yeah.
As I walk with my chains.
That's what I like to think of it, because no surprise, I think college is a waste. Okay, it's not a waste of time.
Yeah, me too.
But it's, you don't come out of it with the, you have to make the best out of it. It doesn't give you
exactly.
The best.
Yeah.
It's not automatic. A lot of people think it's automatic or something.
It's a thoroughly inefficient system.
I used to. Yeah.
Yeah, that will be.
Fuck college.
Lead to that so much.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of this podcast. That was Part-Time Rambles, episode 7 or 8. Hey, we're getting there. 7. I'm sorry. 7. Okay. And it is what it is. I mean, I'm glad you guys stuck around. I'm PTK Stuffums. If you're looking at anywhere, you can find me on Twitter like that, on my YouTube channel. And all this stuff. I'm going to actually link the titles and resources these guys mentioned Also, before we head out, let these guys shout their stuff out too. Bruno, why don't you go?
Sure. So my YouTube channel is just my full name, which is Bruno Pozzo. That is Pozzo with a P-O and a Z-O. And yeah, so the book actually is free. I'll link you because I actually have it in my link because I love that book so much. And all my YouTube videos too. Like I have it as like a free book to read. And it's, you can just find it online because it's so old. It's like out of domain or whatever you call it. And then on my social handles, it's all chaotic one and then the number two at the end. So spell out chaotic one and then there's a number two and that's it. And you'll see me there.
Okay. And Charlie, you can go ahead and shout your stuff out.
Yeah, so I'm basically only active on Twitch and Twitter, and you can find me at both of those at Roku Route. So that's going to be ROKURUTE. And yeah, I try to stream as often as I can. I'm trying to get at least like 4 or 5 days in, so a week. So
nice.
That's where I'm at right now.
And then my last man, Tyan. He doesn't have any social goddamn handles. Okay.
He's a no social handles content
Andy, and just, he needs to. You need to at least make a Instagram, Twitter handle that we can shout out every week. I will be leaving links to everything in the description, all their handles, and if you want to get more of us.